Well, that was kind of sad. I think you got to take that loss because they had won a bunch of games in a row, and it is the Stripling day. And like, not gonna throw a fire sale about Trent Thornton and Julian Merriweather giving up runs, but that was pretty sad.
That was wasn't exactly what you want, of course, but that was one of those games, like you said, that like you kind of have to lose. I mean, you can't win every single game, and if you're gonna lose one, it's gonna be the chicken strip game. I'm sorry, strips, but it makes more sense at the end of the day.
Well, Strips did have a decent day. We're going to talk about his future in the starting rotation and whether it really should exist. We're also going to get into that bullpen that maybe one of us thinks he should be a part of going forward. And we'll talk about some of these lower leverage hitters. For the last couple of games, you've had a lot of these guys who weren't necessarily your big money makers stepping up. How much do we like each of them? Because it could be important going forward as some other people get healthy. That's what we're going to talk about today on your Thursday episode of Locked On Blue Jays.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays with Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Schulman. This is your Thursday episode of Locked On Blue Jays, and we appreciate you making us your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on Twitter at Locked On Jays. Feel free to interact with us whenever then, and tell your friends if you like the podcast. We'd like to continue to meet more and more of the Toronto community and Blue Jays community wherever you're coming from as well, because as we've learned, it spans much farther than just the Toronto area. But before we get into our episode today, today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners get 50 off $500. Use code Locked On at checkout. All right, Matt. So this is a 7-1 loss for the Jays over the Red Sox. Similar themes to just like the offense not getting started, but I think both of us are kind of tired of talking about that.
Yeah, I think we got to move on a little bit, and I like the angle we're taking with chicken strips here.
Yeah, so Ross Stripling started the year in the bullpen, made two appearances. Ryu got hurt. They bumped him up to the starting rotation. I mean, I don't even think we're going to fully dive into like Ryu and like the potential of Pearson. More just talking about Ryu. If he comes back, it's really interesting what you do with Stripling, because they kept him as the sixth starter last year, even when they got Berríos. They've won two of the three Ross Stripling starts this year, and he's pitched pretty well. Like, you could argue the Verlander game was actually maybe his worst game that he's had. Today he went five innings, allowed one run, seven punches, 84 pitches. Like, I do think there's a legitimate debate to be had here. Like, where is Ross Stripling most valuable for the team? I'm interested to hear what you think.
So if you look at the guy's career, and yeah, I think today was arguably his most impactful start. I mean, he was really, really good. I mean, seven strikeouts is more than he had coming in on the season. So he had a great start against a solid lineup. But if you look at his career, this is a guy that's been in and out of the starting rotation, in and out of the bullpen, respectively, the entire time he's been in the bigs. And that worked a ton when he was in L.A. He had a low 3 ERA for a couple of seasons. He was an all-star back in 2018. But I really think he would just strive so much more, and he would be so much better if he was strictly in the bullpen. And he would be such a reliable arm in the bullpen that you could call on whenever. And he kind of fits the mold perfectly for what the Blue Jays needed right now with Ryu going down, because he is that guy who can kind of step into either role. But there are so many pitchers who become failed starters and become great relievers. And I'm not necessarily saying he's a failed starter, because he started plenty of games in his career.
Yeah, I mean, he's 32. Successful. He's had his starting years.
He's done it. And he started 19 games in 24 appearances last year. So that's basically what he was for the Jays. But I think this year, if you want to get the most out of him, it's going to be out of the bullpen. And that's just what we've kind of seen from his whole career.
Can I ask a question about him as a bullpen guy? Because I'm
sure,
wondering,
man.
Like, what do you, Do you see him as like the long guy? Or are you saying like let's dial up
first guy out of the pen when things turn bad? First guy out of the pen when your starter's getting tired. I mean, I think that he can be the guy where, say you say Kikuchi's in the fifth and he's got runners on second and third and he just walked a guy, get Stripling in the game. It's time to get Ross up. That's the kind of guy I think he'd be. You know, he's only going to go five innings anyway. I don't think there's any reality where he starts and goes past that number. So it's going to be a bullpen game every single time he pitches. And that's not the case with Ryu because we know Ryu can rear back and throw seven or eight innings at times. So I'm not saying he's going to do that regularly, but it's possible and it's not with Stripling. So I think that having him in the pen just makes it so much better. It's a young pen. One that is largely unproven. So to put a guy like Ross in there, I think would be hugely beneficial.
I don't know how I feel about it. You know, and I'll just like spit out a couple numbers. So for his career, he started 82 games. He's been a reliever in 94. And if you look at his career, it sides with you. In those 94 games, you know, he's had a 3.5 ERA as a reliever. As a starter in 82, he's at a 4.15, which is, I mean, not bad at all for a career ERA. He's limiting hitters as a reliever for his career below 700 OPS. It's a little bit higher as a starter, 756. So, you know, that definitely sides your way. But then I look at last year, and in his limited relief appearances, he kind of got knocked around, like a mid-5 ERA, an 861 allowed OPS, which is bad. So I don't know. I think I side with you, but I'm kind of going to have like a bit of a cop-out answer, which I know sucks. I actually think he's a more effective pitcher as a starter. However, I think the Jays need him more in the pen, especially with the way the pen's being taxed right now. Like when the rosters shrink a little bit on May 2nd and they got to knock some guys out, I don't know if it's really making the best out of their available roster spots once Ryu is healthy to have six starters, because then you get people in a schedule and then you can't turn to Stripling when all of a sudden, you know, guys are being overused and stuff like that. And like, you want to rest Yimi Garcia or you want to rest, you know, someone that's going to be high leverage by giving, you know, 2-3 innings of Stripling out of the pen rather than having to use a bunch of one inning guys. So I do agree with you that I think it's probably best to have Stripling in the pen. I actually think he's probably a little bit better as a starter, though. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
I actually entirely understand what you mean. And I partly agree. I think last year especially that makes you correct. But I don't know. I think you're also right about the fact that if you want to plug and play here and what is the best for the team right now, you already have five really strong starters when Ryu comes back. So there's really no need for him unless Ryu is a little bit shaky to begin and he needs an extra day of rest or something. And you could put Ross in there. And I think that that's totally a possibility that we could see. Because he is 35 years old, Ryu, and when he comes back from this injury, I don't know really what we're going to get from him because he didn't have the greatest year last year. But it wasn't 3 years ago where he had like a sub-2 ERA. So, I mean, he's a good pitcher, but I think in terms of Ross's fate, he should be a bullpen piece when it's all said and done and everyone's healthy.
Yeah, and I just think it's easier. It's like, I've already kind of made this point, but it's far easier to take your bullpen guy and use him on a spot start, especially when he's been a starter, than I think it is to regularly have a guy starting and then all of a sudden be like, crap, we need someone out of the pen. Like, you just can't do that. Like, if he started a game 3 days ago, he can't pitch out of the pen today. Like, he's going to hurt himself. So, you know, I think when your guy's a reliever, you can be like, okay, well, let's use him as an opener. And maybe in this instance, he's not even going five innings, but you could probably get, you know, three and change out of him or something like that, at least, as an opener. So I think he's there. But then again, you know, for now, he's still going to be a starter because we don't know exactly when Ryu's coming back. And this is, I'm assuming you'd shoot me down. I don't even truthfully feel at all this way. like, Ross has pitched well. You're not, like, thinking he's, like, pushing anyone for a starting job, like a Shaky Kikuchi or, like, a who knows Ryu?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if one of those guys did falter, I could totally see that, though. I could see if we're in June and Kikuchi just can't get it right, I could see him sitting for Stripling if Stripling's pitching well. I could totally see that.
Yeah, he maybe. I mean, Ryu I'm going to rule out because they pay him like $20 million a year, and I just don't think you can do that. Even Kikuchi at like $12 million a year is tough to do that too. I could see them maybe just say like, I don't know, like maybe come up with something to put Kikuchi on the IL and just give him a sec, or maybe like just like give him like a get right Buffalo start and just be like, yeah, we're going to skip Kikuchi on this one.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think just sitting a guy, I think could put a fire under him. And you know, you have to be real with your players at the end of the day. And I think, that doing that wouldn't be the worst for the team, especially if Stripling is pitching well. I mean, this is all contingent on whether the guy pitches well or not. Last year he didn't, like objectively, he did not have a good year last season. So, if he could start putting it together, I mean, he started pretty strong, like we've mentioned, in a role that maybe he didn't see himself in to begin the year. But if he gets, a hot streak going in the pen, I could totally see him getting a spot start if there's a starter struggling.
Well, if he wasn't starting, then of course he'd be in the bullpen. That's an interesting part of the team. Also, we mentioned some of the back end bats on this team are becoming pretty important as well. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, and even later in the show, we're going to discuss both of those facets here on Locked On Blue Jays.
Blue Jays fans, Mother's Day is right around the corner. If you're scrambling for a gift, Blue Nile might be the thing for you. I mean, what mother doesn't like fine jewelry? I mean, I know mine does. But, you know, whether she prefers a statement piece or everyday subtle elegance, BlueNile.com has fine jewelry options for every mom. Shop high-quality classic diamond earrings, elegant tennis bracelets, or gemstone pendant necklaces. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On sports listeners get $50 off $500. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day. Use code Locked On. That's code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com today. Back here on Locked On Blue Jays, Matt Bonaparte and Ben Schulman. We're talking bullpen now. This team's bullpen is a bit of a doozy. Thank you for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. Recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts. Taking fans through the season like no other network. Free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Back to that bullpen, though. It's a few games into the season. We've gotten a little bit of a gist on what the bullpen is going to offer and what the different arms are going to offer this year. Ben and I have decided that we want to take a little check-in every few games or so, maybe every 20 games, every 40 games, and tell you how we feel about every arm in the bullpen and rank them on most trustworthy to least trustworthy. And we're going to do the same with the back-end bats right after this, so stay tuned for that. Ben, do you want to go player by player? Or spot by spot, I mean? Or do you want to just give my eight or your eight?
Let's do spot by spot. Why not?
Okay. And we did take eight players for this. We gave a minimum five appearances out of the bullpen. So guys like Taylor Saucedo and Ryan Borucki do not count. Anthony Kay does not count.
And this is strictly trust rankings, not like
talent. It's not about are they good. It's about how much do I trust them when they trot out of that pen to take the bump. Am I saying, it's gonna be a God, or like, am I saying, thank the Lord?
Yeah.
All right, so first on my list, and I kind of assume first on yours, is Jordan Romano. He's been pretty much lights out all year long, leads the MLB in saves as well as games finished. He's just been tested so many times this year and met the challenge that I feel it would be disrespectful if I didn't give him the number one spot.
Yeah, I got him at number one. Pretty obvious. I thought we were doing eight through one. I like we're doing one through eight because one was One was very obvious, though, so I think that was a good decision by you.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I think Romano, he's just kind of a dog, and he's just fun to watch a Canadian boy go out there, one of two Canadians on the team, if you count Vladimir Guerrero. So pretty exciting. Two on my list is Adam Simber, number 90 out there. I called him Twinkle Toes once before, but really he's Simdog Millionaire. He's 4-0 on the year, only thrown 9 innings, of course, but he's been pretty darn good. The only home run he gave up, though, so far this season was in Game 1 to the Rangers, and he only gave up 2 as a Toronto Blue Jay last year, and even in the entirety of his appearances last year. I think that him and Romano make up a really, really good 1-2 punch, and I think that it's really a great sign that that was the plan going in and that I'm most trustworthy in those two guys. It's a great sign, but it's also expected.
You're going to hate my Simber ranking. He's not my number two. I think he's fantastic, but we're going to have to wait on him for a little bit. My number two is a shocker. I really need to say to people, this is about trust. Remember, this isn't about who I think is the best reliever or who I want to be in the eighth inning, but it's just about trust. When they come in, how do I feel?
I'm sure.
And for some reason, I got a lot of trust when David Phelps comes in the ballgame.
Huh.
I'll be honest.
Interesting.
He's been there. He's done that. I kind of like an older guy in the pen.
Yeah.
And I know what I'm going to get from him, you know? Now, if they were like, hey, David Phelps, get the ninth inning, I'd be like, well, I don't know about that. But, like,
but in his you're like, okay, you're going to do your job.
You slide Phelps into, like, the seventh, and we're up, like, 2 runs, I'm feeling pretty good about it. Like, you know, he's not going to, like, blow up and walk 10 guys or something like that. So
I respect that. Because I also like the veteran presence.
It's not talent. Not that he's not talented. But I got a lot of trust in David Phelps to go out there and do his job.
That's an interesting pick. One that I did not make, obviously. And he's not even going to be my next pick either. But I've watched that guy play a lot of baseball over my life. And he certainly has never been regarded as trustworthy. But maybe things change. All right. My third guy overall, and this might come as a shock to you. I don't really know. We're going to find out. Is the lefty, Tim Mayza. I really...
Same spot.
Okay. I'm glad that we agree on that. I like Mayza a lot because one is he's going to shut down any lefty he faces. I mean, the dude is a dog when it comes to doing his job in that respect. Lefties have, I believe, a 200 average against him. So he does his job in that respect. The guy, he's 30 years old, so he's got a little bit of that veteran blood in him as well. And he's been really good so far this season. And he's been a good Jay for a little while. He came up with the team, of course, and he struggled in his first few appearances back in 2017. Got it together in 2018, kind of fell apart in 19, but regained last year and was really solid. Finished 10 games for the team in 53 innings. I really like him. I think he's going to be solid this season.
Yeah, he's shown a ton of improvement over his Jays career. He can even get righties out when he was really just a lefty guy coming up. And I love – this is one of my favorite things about him so far. He hasn't given up a homer or issued a walk so far this year. Has he pitched a million innings? No. But, like, if you're going to quantify trust for me, he's keeping the ball in the park and he's not giving up free bases. I love Mayza. He's so important to this bullpen. I think he's been awesome.
Yeah, I think he's a very valuable player. Especially, I mean, if you got a good lefty, a lot of teams just have a lefty. If you have a good lefty like Mayza, it's umpteen times more valuable. So I'm glad we have him in the same spot. All right, moving on to my number four. I've got a guy whose career is only a few years old, but he's around 30 as well. I'm going Trevor Richards here. I like Trevor Richards because he's another one of those guys, one of those pitchers who was not good to begin their careers, but somehow figured it out and kind of put it all together and turned into a solid pitcher. And, of course, the guys that I used to describe that in earlier pods were Robbie Ray and Kevin Gausman. He's not on that level, of course, but he is a solid pitcher. I mean, 7 2/3 so far this season, 10 strikeouts, only 2 walks, 1 home run. And he was traded at the deadline last year to the Jays, and he was good then, too. I mean, 32 innings and 2/3 last year, and he had a 3.31 ERA. I think this is a guy who will fit that kind of role that I described Stripling in, like, twofold a little bit and kind of be your first guy out of the pen when your starter's blowing up. I do very much like Trevor Richards.
I don't know. I'm still a little lukewarm on him. Like, I kind of want to see him do it longer, so I have him pushed down. This is, I don't need to give a huge explanation, but this is where I have Simber at number four. A little bit is just like, you're going to hate me, like, listener mostly, but like, just like still an old man who's like a little afraid of like guys, that guy's just like frisbeeing in meatballs potentially. And I know he's not, it's like the style of his pitching, but like a lefty power hitter's got to somewhat love seeing, you know, a guy throwing up from the right side. And I'm just, I don't know.
Do the stats do nothing for you though? The guy doesn't allow
homers. The stats are good for me. Like I get it. I just like, I didn't know when they got this guy that like he was gonna be this high leverage essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. And like something about that for me, I'm still like a little bit like, he was like very like all right on Cleveland. And then like he was good on Miami and they traded for him and he's been nothing but fantastic for the Jays. Like nothing but fantastic. But it's still like, I'm still just being like, all right, like I guess he's the guy, you know? And so he's a guy, I will say, like, we plan on returning to this. He's a guy that projects to rise in my rankings.
We got to hurry it up a little bit.
Yeah, we do got to speed it up. We're not going to explain to the guys we don't trust.
Okay. My next one is David Phelps. You know, fair. I've watched him be bad for too long. But he's gotten better, so he's mid on my list.
I got Yimi coming up. I actually really like Yimi's stuff. I know we're going to disagree on that. But I think he's been a solid reliever for, you know, pretty much all but like one season where he wasn't that great with the Dodgers. I just think, you know, it's not like the other guys. But when Yimi comes in, like, I know there's a pretty good shot we're going to get done what we want to get done.
Interesting. I've got Yimi at the next spot. So that's third to last. So we're pretty similar there. I don't think he's great. I'm just not a huge fan of guys like mid-aged guys throwing like mid-90s. I just have never been a huge fan of that. Who don't have incredible off-speed pitches. But, you know, Yimi's fine. He's very fine to me.
That's kind of how I feel about my next guy, Trevor Richards. I know the stats are good. I do think he'll regress a little bit from how he's pitched so far. I just feel fine about him. Like, he's kind of, you know, I'm not going to elaborate that much more. There's a bit of a cutoff coming after Trevor Richards.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, he's fine. That's how I feel about it. Like, that's why he's pitching in the fifth and sixth inning for me. He's fine.
All right. Now we get to the two guys that have something to prove in my eyes. The first is Trent Thornton. He's never been good in the bigs. It's just never happened. He's never been a guy that you're like, oh, thank God Trevor Thornton's on the hill. It's just never been a thing. So maybe this is the year that changes, but 9 innings, 4 walks so far, 6 Ks, but I don't see that changing too much for Butters.
Yeah, so I have Thornton ahead of Merriweather, but this is, again, the ultimate, like, that this is a trust list and not, like, necessarily a talent list, because like the arm talent of Merriweather could sit near the top of this list.
Sure.
I just don't know what he is right now. I just have no idea. So Thornton, I'm putting him ahead because as much as I don't really think he's necessarily better than Merriweather, I kind of know what I'm going to get out of Trent Thornton. Like, you know, you're putting him in the game for a specific reason and I understand what he is and isn't. Merriweather's good is really good and his bad is worse.
Yeah, and we both have Merriweather last?
Yes.
Okay, so we both got Merriweather last. Plenty of arm talent, but the ERA and the rest of the numbers aren't there. All right, we're going to take a short break right here on Locked On Blue Jays. When we come back, we'll rank the low-end bats, pretty much the same thing. Stick with us.
Today's episode of Locked On Blue Jays is brought to you by BetOnline.net, your number one source for all betting stats and sports info. Look, it's game 6, Raptors, Sixers. We didn't think we were going to be here, but whoops, James Harden, Joel Embiid, choking it again. And I love the Raptors to take it to 7 here. Bet Online got that money line at an even 100. I'll take that free money any day. You can find that game or all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NBA playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting and wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet online, where the game starts. Welcome back to Locked On Blue Jays. We are wrapping it up here. Yes, the Blue Jays did lose the game yesterday when you're listening to this. As usual, we are trying to record these right after the game, but they got another game coming up. We're not going to do a pitching matchup preview because, you know what? We've kind of previewed almost all five starters at this point. And you know,
We know the Sox too well.
We know the Sox too well. They're starting Garrett Whitlock, which is exciting, but we don't have to get into that too much. Plus, you know, Alek Manoah's on the mound. Guy's a dude. Whatever. What has been important are the back-end bats. And we're not going to do this necessarily, I think, totally as often as the bullpen bats. This is kind of more of a – or the bullpen rankings. This is kind of more of a timely thing. But, you know, rankings in terms of who do you like coming out of these, like, back-end, maybe lesser – followed bats. So we cut it down to five guys, and this could be controversial, but we cut it down to Espinal, who was making a case maybe to get off this list. Espinal, Tapia, Collins, Cato, Zimmer. Biggio has big expectations regardless of whether he's meeting them or not. Kirk, I don't know. He felt like too much of a regular everyday guy for us even before the year to do it. So that's what we got. This one, I think, mixes talent in a little more with trust. I could be wrong, Bones, but that's kind of how I'm feeling as opposed to bullpen, which was kind of all trust.
I think this one's all about, like, performance, like how these guys have been playing and, like, maybe what the expectations were. Also, you just forgot to mention Heinemann. We both thought he's not really a player that's going to be here for long, and he's also totally a defensive catcher and, like, will rarely get at-bats.
Yeah, I mean, like, we'd probably both put him at the bottom, no offense to him. But, so yeah, we decided on those five. We're just going to rip through each of our rankings, unlike the last one. I'm going to start at five and go to one, if that's okay, Bones.
Sure.
Are you okay with me going first?
Go ahead.
I should offer. All right. Number five, Zimmer.
No machine!
Just don't think that that's like his tool, like hitting-wise. That's not what he's here for necessarily. He's kind of a speed defense guy. Did hit that dinger, bunt single. Other than that, really not much going on. And so he's my five. You can make a case for him to be four, but purely kind of out of the unknown, I'm going to put Gosuke Cato. Also, you know, gets his first major league hit, so I'm kind of hot on him right now. But Cato, number four, more like just the realm of unknown than Zimmer. I know what Zimmer is. Cato could be anything. You know, he's just started his major league career, even though he's kind of, you know, not necessarily like a young guy. Number three, this is going to anger some people. It's a little controversial. I got Zach Collins at number three.
Whoa! That's crazy!
I'm not totally like being like, this guy's hit 300 for 17 games. He's a 300 hitter. Like, he didn't do anything before that.
You got to give him some respect.
I am. I put him over two, you know, one real...
Two garbage hitters! You could have put $1 million on Cato and Zimmer being bottom two.
That's true. I got Collins there. I just think it's... I'm hoping... Like, I want to get to midseason and be wrong. Like, trust me. His strikeouts are through the roof. And he has, like, no track record of being a good hitter. Like, he's still, with everything he's done this year, in 124 games, a 207 hitter with a
76 OPS. This is fair, but...
My number two, so my number one, I'll tell you, like, we're going to get to it soon. My number one was always locked in. My number two, this is the controversial thing, but I'm betting more on Rymel being, like, the hitter he's been for a while, which new age analytics-wise isn't the sexiest hitter of all time, but, like, is a 300 career hitter, I'm pretty sure, or pretty close to it. So that, to me, I just, you know, Rymel Tapia's done what Rymel Tapia's been doing for like 5-6 years. Some people are going to Coors me, but he's like not a power hitter. I know they got a big outfield, so that helps.
Yeah, he's a 280 career hitter.
Yeah, like he's been doing it. He's been a starter. Or at least a regular rotation guy. So I got him there. It's controversial. I think
so you got Tapia one?
Revisit it. No. Okay. Tapia's my two. Sorry. So I got Zimmer five, Cato four, Collins three, Tapia two, and then Santiago Espinal is my one. Dude's got stones. He's got onions. He's got whatever else.
He's a king, is dude.
Spherical shaped.
He needs.
He comes up with big hits in the biggest times. Yeah, we'll get him one. We'll think of one. And not to mention, like, he's like maybe the guy with the. I mean, Tapia maybe, but he's probably the guy with the most established, like, career, which is not saying a ton in this list. But you know, I think Santiago for me feels like the surest bet, and potentially it's just because he's the one that's actually been a Jay for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, where do you differ?
We only differ in one spot. I got Zimmer Cato, same as you. And then I have Tapia third. And then I've got Collins two. And I've got Espinal one. The reason
being... So tell me
being,
why I'm crazy.
I just think that Collins never got, like, enough time in Chicago. Like, sure, I'm not saying he's a world beater or anything, but... He played 78 games last year, which is a decent amount. But I think that if he's going to get a new start in a place where he's going to get probably more at-bats, unless Danny Jansen comes back and takes all of them, which he probably will. But, you know, he's got that DH spot too. I think he could show off his power a little bit more. I mean, he has 3 home runs this season already. He had 4 in 78 games last year, so it's kind of hard to make the case that he isn't already starting as an entirely different player. I think he's going to show off the power bat a lot more than he ever has, and I think that you're going to be surprised by what he does. And I'm not going to say that he's going to be a 300 hitter with a 935 OPS for all 162 games or anything, because he's not. But I think he's going to be way better than he was in Chicago. In terms of Tapia, you know, he's a fun player. And like you said, he's been a 280 hitter for a while. But I don't know. He doesn't really do anything outside of that. He's just hit singles. And those are all well and good. But that doesn't really help your OPS too much. And then when it comes to Espinal, I'm glad we're on the same page there. Because he is an absolute dog. Nearly 100 games last year. 300 batting average. Actually, I think it was 311. So respect that from our guy Santiago. He's an absolute king.
I hate to pull from your Yanks, but I would describe Santiago as a savage in the box.
Love
it. All right. Well, we're going to see if Santiago, Collins, Tapia, maybe Ghost K and Zimmer can come up with some big performances that'll change our minds going forward. But for now, that's it. And thank you so much for listening to Locked On Blue Jays and making it your first listen every day. We got the Bleacher Report name game coming up and the series finale.
You mean the Baseball Reference name game?
Bleacher Report. That's the second time. These are late. These are late recording sessions, but we're going to get better at it. We got some sort of BR name game coming up tomorrow, and we got a whole lot more. We really appreciate you keeping it with us. Now that you made us your first listen, make Locked On MLB your second listen with the dude, Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully.
Sully! He brings us a unique
perspective on the major leagues, past and present. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Please subscribe, give us a like, rating. Check us out on Twitter at LockedOnJays. For Matt Bonaparte, I'm Ben Schulman, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.